I appreciate the Lord and all that he means to me. I'm thankful to be his child. I'd like to draw something on the board real quick. And first, let's read 1 John. That way it'll be a preface as to what I'm drawing. 1 John 5 and 18. It says, 1 John 5 and 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So I'd like to just dwell on the part keepeth himself. There's actions that we can do. So I'm going to draw a heart on the board, and that's us, that's our soul. So the title is Keepeth Himself. And there are safeguards, if you will, around our heart. And that is, you know, your thoughts can be a safeguard. That's an important safeguard. Our mind is so I've drawn a circle around the heart, kind of like a fence, if you want to think of it that way. But our thoughts, our mind is a powerful tool in the right direction. But it's also a major battlefield. I think Vonda mentioned that this morning. But we have a choice in what our mind feeds on. We have a choice in what our mind dwells on and our thoughts think, so to speak. And that is indeed a safeguard if we keep it. We have a lot to do with that. The things that we listen to, the conversations that we hold, the things that we dwell on. It's all a part of keeping yourself. It's part of that fence. It's part of that safeguard. Another one is places we go or things that we do. It's another safeguard. How we act. It's a safeguard around us. What we do with our time. Like I said, where we go. There's just kind of a safeguard around us. And we try to be real careful about the places that we go, the places that our feet go. There are a lot of places you could go, but there's a lot of places that we don't go because there's a safeguard around it. Another one is just the way we conduct ourselves is a safeguard. You know, when we're around other people, do we enter into their foolishness or their frivolities, or do we keep ourselves guarded and careful in what we say and how we act? And all of those things are safeguards. It's part of what we can do to keep ourselves. Because it says, he that keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. But we do have an adversary, and this is what I want us to think about. That adversary, and I wish I could draw a good lion. But anyway, 1 Peter 5 and 8 describes it very, very well. 1 Peter 5 and 8, and it says, be sober, be vigilant. See, that's your safeguard. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So I want us to think about the word may. It didn't say who he will devour, who he has devoured. It says who he may devour. Do you know when Job, it said that, we'll just turn to Job, the first chapter. We saw this in action. It says that the sixth verse of the first chapter, it says, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Satan was walking around, seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it, seeking whom he may devour. That he's been doing that a long time. He's interested in your soul. He's interested in my soul. And sometimes we think our life is not that important. And if it wasn't important, then why does Jesus want it and why does the devil want it? Your life is very important.
And the enemy is searching. So he's very wicked and sneaky. But if we can keep these safeguards, we save ourselves a lot of trouble and heartache. So it says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Job had some safeguards around him by things that he practiced, but it's also come that some of the blessings of the Lord safeguarded him. And the devil was saying, you know, if you just let down some of those safeguards, I can get him. And the Lord was saying, I have confidence enough in this child of mine that you do with it what you will, but just don't take his soul. So he was still seeking whom he may devour. And so I think of that as what a perfect situation when we have that there, that we are not tempted to a point that we're sinning at all because we've kept ourselves. But there are times that unbeknownst or unaware, we might falter in just a little area. It's just a little area. It doesn't mean a whole lot. It won't hurt me too bad. But we might have another little area here and possibly a little, but it's just a little area. You see, there's a much bigger area that's encompassing the heart. So it can't make such a big deal. But if the enemy, like I said, I wish I could just draw a good puffy lion. But anyway, we're going to have some angry eyebrows and a sad face because he's mad all the time. That's why he's seeking. But he can see that, and he can enter, and he'll find a place. He's looking. He's sniffing.
Yes.
He's smelling. He's trying to see, you know, where's your weakness, and I can find that. And if I keep doing it, I can actually get to you. But on the other hand, if we have been diligent to keep those safeguards, and for each one of us, that safeguard's different. Each one of us has different areas that are temptations and those that are not temptations. But if we can keep that circle and that safeguard surrounding, we save ourselves a lot of heartache. That's just all there is to it. I want us to think about temptations because we live in this world. We live this life. We're going to have temptations. That's just all there is to it. James, the first chapter, tells us something about that. So if we can turn there. The first chapter and the 12th verse, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Do you know, the devil has access to all temptations. Did you know that? And he can throw them at you. And I struggled with thinking that when I had a temptation, I'd already sinned. But that's the wrongness of that. That's incorrect. The devil will try to tell you that. But if you've been tempted and he's thrown it at you, you didn't have anything to do with that. And as long as we're in this life, we are going to be tempted. That's just part of it. But it said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want you to think about a temptation as junk mail. When I go to the mailbox, there are many times that I just feel like the most popular person in the world because I have received a stack of mail. And I get it inside my door, and I'll have a bill here and maybe a letter here. But the rest of it is offer for this, offer for that. You can do this. You can do that. And by the time I've sorted through it, where do I put it? In the trash. Do you know what that's temptations. Temptations enter your mailbox. And what you need to do is throw them in the trash. That's when you're blessed. But it's when you open the envelope and you pull out the coupon and you order that you get into trouble. What you've done is you've challenged your safeguard. And it maybe even sending off for it is not the sin yet. But once it's arrived and you imbibe, then you've sinned. That's where the sin is. Because you willfully did that. Okay? See there? That makes it so much easier to understand. When you're tempted, it's not because you've done wrong. It's just the devil has access to all those things. You remember when it was Job, the first thing the enemy did was touched his financial. Then he touched his children, which I can't imagine the loss of 10 children. Then he touched his physical well-being. Then he touched his marriage. His wife was not even supportive in that. And I look at that and think, oh, what devastation. The only person I know besides Jesus that carried such a weight would be Job. But it's because the enemy was still seeking. Is there a little hole that I can get in there? Is there some little gate that he left open? And you know, Job had temptation to curse God. He had temptation to do that. But it's just like that junk mail. Throw it away. Throw it away. It's not useful to you. It's not a sin, but it's not useful. And don't entertain it. You know, eventually it caught David. And I'm thinking, David, just don't go on the rooftop. Just don't go. And sometimes we have those choices. We have those temptations. But I'm thinking, just bypass it. Don't give the enemy a chance to come in an unguarded door, to come in a crack or a fissure or just a little tiny opening. It's not that much, Lord. It doesn't really mean that much. But do you realize that was there to protect you? It was there to protect you. So I want you to think about that. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the first verse. It says, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I think about that. When you run, you don't want to have a heavy backpack on. You just don't. You don't want even really heavy shoes on. You don't want conflicting garments on. You want something that makes you aerodynamic, if you want to think of it that way. And there are many things that we can do that we're just dragging along, and it's causing us not to make the progress that we could. And it's the enemy, once again, if he can't get you to sin, well, he can just make you miserable where you're at. That would just be his delight. If he can't make you sin, then he can just make you lose your joy. He can make you all kinds of things. But if you have a safeguard of happiness and joy around, he can't touch that. He just can't. That's part of that keeping himself and the love of the Lord. And that wicked one toucheth him not. The weight is the unnecessary burdens, and the sin is the thwarting in every direction. That's the enemy's business, and he is good at it. But I'm telling you, if you will purposefully say, I want to make heaven my home, I want to live where God is for the rest of eternity, I don't want to be caught without that. I want to do my very best, and I want to know what my safeguard is, Lord, and help me to keep it in place. Help me not to sell it as Esau did. Help me not to treat it as though it's not that important. Help me to understand it, to keep myself in the law of the Lord, in the love of the Lord, that I need to keep myself away from certain things, certain areas in my life that I can safeguard. In James, the 4th chapter, it gives us another hint as to how we can resist the devil or how we can thwart him. And it becomes a powerful tool. Many times, you know, there are times that you just kind of get tired of being pummeled by the enemy. You get tired of the temptations. You get tired of having to resist. But there is a safeguard in resisting him. And it says, submit yourselves, it's the 7th verse of the 4th chapter of James. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is a safeguard right there. You just keep resisting him. You keep building that wall around it. Just keep it a little bit thicker. Just go ahead and go around it a couple of times. I'm going to make sure that this is not a safeguard that the enemy can break through. And it also says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Oh, that's a safeguard right there. Oh, I want to know more of you, dear Lord. I want you in my life. I don't want to have it just as a name tag that says, hello, my name is a Christian. I am a Christian. I have to tell you I'm a Christian because you couldn't tell it in my actions. You couldn't tell it in the way where I went and what I did. I had to tell you I was a Christian. Do you know your actions, the way you purport yourself to the world, it should say Christian without you ever having to say a word. It should say that. But it's also, it's a safeguard for you. And if you draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to you, devil can't touch that, can he? So I said, the wicked one toucheth him not, because there's nothing there to touch. That doesn't make this that so holy that we're untouchable. No, that's not true. But it does mean that we have a constant enemy that's sniffing. He's trying, he's looking, he's tasting, he's trying to see where your weak point is. He's trying to nudge at that. He's trying to break through that. He's just interested in your failure. Just know this, it's not about you. It's all about your soul. It's not just your physical well-being. It's about that soul that he wants to come in and snatch. And he can do it very unguardedly. But if we keep a circumspect watch over that soul of ours, we can be safe, and I appreciate that. I'm glad. And I'm going to tell you, it will be a battle that you fight every day of your life. But what a wonderful battle. What a wonderful way to live. That I have to constantly keep myself in check. Because I have done that, then my life will be blessed. Others' lives will be blessed. My family's life will be blessed. The congregation I go to will be blessed. When I have done those things and I have lived that victorious life, victory means you've had battles. You can't have a victory without a battle. You have to have affliction for heaven to look good. You have to have things happen before you turn to the Lord. That song that we sang, he would have that world seem brighter. Do you know, if we were 20 forever, we'd never want to go to heaven. But the Lord allows us to age. And as we age, things get a little bit uncomfortable. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for age. Thank you, Lord, for a chance to live for you at this age. Thank you, Lord, for a chance to understand your love and your courage and your strength, even when life isn't savory anymore, when it doesn't feel good anymore. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to live for you in my old age. Thank you, Lord, for that chance, because that world does seem brighter. It seems more wonderful to me every day. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be safeguarded, but I also know I'm going to have to take care of myself. I desire that you pray for me.